Pluto, okay. Pluto is only death and rebirth if
right.
you have been holding on to the dead stuff, trying to get it to come back
get
to
rid
life.
Of it. Get rid of
Let
it.
Let go and move on. And there's no okay. sign more equipped to do that than Aries.
Than Aries.
You know, they yeah. don't have a brake pedal. All they have is a gas pedal.
Right.
Let's go.
Hey, it's my moon.
It's your moon.
It's my moon. And
that's
that, you know, when I, sometimes I wonder, you know, like you say, where do you get your chutzpah?
Where do you get your chutzpah?
Well, you know, like you get it from whatever your Mars is and where your moon is. Those are the things that kind of drive you.
Right, right. Your moon.
And mine is in Aries, so that...
Right, the moon in a person's chart, you being a Cancer, it's your ruling planet. But she's got a thing about Cancer, yeah. I swear. But your moon sign for people, they can look it up on the internet easily on astro.com.
Yeah.
The moon is your emotional nature. It talks about what your feelings are like, what yeah. your secondary nature is like.
Yeah.
Taurus is next. We got time for one more?
We have like 30 seconds.
Well, let's do Taurus quickly.
Okay.
Okay, what does that mean for Taurus? It goes into their ninth house. Okay, Taurus is not usually a real philosophical sign. Probably the least philosophical.
Yeah, they're very pragmatic.
Very down to earth. But yeah. they're going to find themselves, and I'm really finding this stuff is true so far. They're going to start thinking deeper, thinking about their God connection, about what makes things tick, and their philosophy. They're going through a revolution in their philosophy, digging, comparing religions,
wow.
et cetera, et cetera. So when we come back, we'll go on to the fun Gemini twins.
I'm trying to think of who I know that's a Taurus that's going to be doing that. That's interesting. When we come back, more with astrologer Rick DiClemente. You're listening to the Life Lounge on News Radio 1020 KDKA. Welcome back to the Life Lounge. Carol Lee Espy here. 42 degrees in downtown Pittsburgh. Spring is coming, and we are talking with astrologer, intuitive astrologer, Rick DiClemente. And we've been just going, there was a major shift in the planets, which was Pluto going into Capricorn. And we're talking about sign by sign. What does it mean for you? Because that's
what's
all that matters.
What does it mean for me?
Yeah, what's it mean for me? Otherwise, I really don't care.
Where can I get a job?
Yeah, who am I going to meet my true love? So, well, Aries could get the job now. This is
no,
a good
that's an old. You didn't catch it. That's an old fireside line.
Is it? Where can I get a job?
Where can I get a job, Mr. President? Anyhow, Gemini.
I used to listen to Fireside Theater all the time.
Yeah, I love them. Geminis. We need to move on. Geminis.
Crazy Geminis.
Geminis, eighth house. Gemini is typically not a very deep sign. They're the shallowest of the 12. But they can be deep. It all depends on their chart. But now they're really changing. They're getting a lot deeper. They get a bad rap because they're so intellectual and they're so curious mentally.
Erudites.
Yeah. I mean, they bounce along the surface and they get a bad rap.
Yeah.
And people think they have no feelings, but they really do, of course. And what's happening with Gemini is the eighth house is involved and they're getting much deeper. They're going to start shocking people at the depth that they're coming up with because usually they don't slow their minds down enough to really appreciate their depth.
Interesting.
And that's what's going to be coming out with them during the next 16
years. So they're
going
deep.
They're going deep.
Gemini's going
deep. Just like a split end receiver. And
so Taurus has a little bit of that going on, too, as you were saying.
Taurus has it going on, but it's more of a philosophical
thing. It's philosophical.
Gemini's going to be looking at introspective relationships.
Oh.
Bonding with others.
Okay.
Now the weird sign of Cancer, which you hate.
Here's the audio for Cancer.
Oh, jeez.
Crybaby.
Where'd the baby come from? Yeah, but you only see that one side. Cancer has another side to it that's very powerful. I have to defend Cancer, and she is one. This doesn't make sense. All right, what's Cancer up to? Well, you tell me. Capricorn's opposite Cancer. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's a challenge.
It's a challenge. What kind of challenge? Opposite you. Relationships. I'll give it to you very simply. Here's the Cancer answer.
Oh, God.
Unlike you, a lot of Cancers do not have a lot of identity. They get their identity by being a mother, by being a daughter, by being a family member. They're tied to their role. Just like Eckhart Tolle talks about in the new book, you're none of these things. These are just things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And Cancers are awakening to their sense of individuality because of the pressure from the seventh house of relationships. So how can you be in a relationship unless you're an individual? Well, the cancers get in trouble because they get into dependency.
Yes, they
do. Codependency.
Yes, they do.
And Pluto is challenging them now to get past it. They're not going to be able to rely on codependency anymore.
Poor little cancers. Because it's the nurturer of the zodiac. So it's like they don't know what to do if they're not, doing that. Ooh, that's kind of it's opposite. That's a challenging.
Yeah, that's why the U.S. is threatened now.
Because the U.S. is a cancer.
Right.
And all of our relationships are challenged.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So
we're going to collectively wind together.
Well, maybe the U.S. needs to find out what it's all about. By the way, United States, if I may speak to you as a collective, quit screwing the farmer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
I think this should be the time when the United States goes, our food is their oil.
Mm.
We are the breadbasket of the world, and we have been asking these farmers to keep their fields fallow.
Mm-hmm.
And we have asked them to not mm-hmm. do the thing mm-hmm. that this country was born to do, and that's be an agrarian society. We started mm-hmm. as an agrarian society, and we turned into a manufacturing society.
This is a cancer message, isn't it?
We need to go back to the agrarians mm-hmm. that we are, and we need to say, hello, people who need wheat, which, by the way, has more than tripled in price now. Here, how about this? We'll trade you some wheat for some oil. Because last time I checked, there were no wheat fields in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Now we are the food of the world. We have the most
food
beautiful
basket.
And we have been hurting our farmers. And now it's time for us to go back to what we truly were, which was an agrarian society. We grew all the cotton, we grew all the tobacco. Look at all the things that we grew when the British first came here. This was like, oh my gosh, look at this place.
Lush.
It's just the most beautiful farmland you've ever seen.
The U.S. chart's very resourceful.
So that's what we need to go back. We are no longer manufacturers. We have to accept that, and we got to go back to the land, and we got to let our farmers do what they were put here to do. Okay.
Good idea.
There's my thing.
That's your little
yeah. Okay, so from Cancer to Leo. What is this for Leo?
Sixth house.
Leos
usually rely on their ability to express themselves strongly. Now they're going to be actually looking and focusing on their skill sets, getting to work, getting to become professionals, really developing their skills. They know how to wing it.
Yeah,
they're
they do.
Very expressive. They're mm-hmm. very confident. But that's not getting it. They need more skills. That's what it's all about with Leo.
Back to school?
Going to school, going to trade schools, developing their skills, whatever. They're very talented people, but they're learning that they need to be more marketable.
Which, is a tough thing for Leo, because Leos are used to leading and teaching. Now they need to be the student.
Yeah, well, that's not in their nature to be the student. Their nature is to lead everything. You're exactly right.
So this Capricorn thing's kind of a topsy-turvy, turning things around for a lot of signs.
Yeah, and it's good because it will bring them the confidence from within, mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
With Virgo people, we're getting the opposite of Leo here, because here's your workaholic, the Virgos. If anybody knows Virgo men, they're never home. They're always in the workshop. They're always working.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in their fifth house. Isn't that right? Let's see. Virgo, the fifth house. Okay. So in the fifth house, Virgos are going to be shifting towards this weird thing called enjoying life.
They don't know. Do they know how to do that?
They have a tough time with it. They really do. Being a Virgo is a tough, tough work. Very hard.
I mean, really, are they going to be able to do that?
I don't know if they'll be able to.
These are all challenges.
Yeah. Well, hello, Pluto.
So what's going to happen is all the Virgos are going to end up like... becoming people who start resorts.
What they're going to do?
Run resorts.
They're going to work at play. They're going to work at play.
Yeah.
I tell Virgos to go play and relax. They'll say to me, "I'm going to go work on that." I say, "Don't work on it.
I'm going to go
just
work
go have
on that.
Fun." Now Libra, this is really fascinating,
okay.
Carol, because I kind of foresaw this, and it actually did come true from what I'm finding out. This is coming from the fourth house, and what that means is it's emotional house. Libra is not a deeply emotional sign by itself.
No, it's not.
They're an intellectual sign.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're social. But I'm definitely seeing that with Libras. They're digging deeper now. They don't want to just chit-chat. They want more deep quality to their relationships. That's what's happening.
These are all really big changes for each sign.
Yeah, well, Pluto, it only changes every 13 to 30 years.
Wow.
So it's pretty massive. So with Libra, it's emotional.
Okay.
So did your husband start crying a lot?
No.
No.
No, he hasn't been crying a lot.
Maybe
unless he's doing it in his car by himself.
But
I do know. I have seen a change.
Yeah.
I have seen a change in him about how things affect him. It's a deeper.
It's deeper.
It's
right.
deeper.
Well, that's exactly. You see the shift. When the shift happens, you know, in a couple of years we'll be more used to Pluto being there. But that's one reason. You'll look around in the past couple of months. People are disoriented.
Yeah. Oh, they are. Oh, yeah.
They're trying to get used to this new energy. You can even feel it in your body.
Yeah.
You can even feel it in your body.
And there's been a lot of physical transitions, sicknesses, things
people
being
can't
diagnosed.
Shake the flu. They can't shake it. Can't shake it.
Although I got to tell you, I've had these things where you get this stupid, like you get chills and a fever and bubble and the muscle soreness, and all of a sudden you get the sinus infection, and then you get the cough, and it hangs on for like 3 months.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I started doing yoga this year.
Yeah.
And I got that thing, and it knocked it out. I did yoga all through it. There was one day I didn't, and I slept.
It really helped.
And it knocked it. And I swear that when you do the breathing that you have to do in yoga, that it repairs your cells or something. The oxygenation that you do repairs your cells.
It makes total sense.
Moves. I don't know. I could be completely talking out of my butt
point.
No,
I think you got it. We have Scorpio.
Oh, we gotta get, okay, let's hold Scorpio because we got to take a break.
Well, this is easy because Scorpio, I don't even think they're going to notice it. Because it's going through the third house. You figure their mind is going to become more Scorpionic, and
they're already there.
Scorpionic.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to even notice it that much.
Wow.
So this is the one I kind of glossed over.
Huh, so they could kind of like go with the flow.
Yeah.
It's a go with the flow.
I call it painting a maroon wall, painting it to color maroon. You don't even notice it. It's a new coat.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back more of the ultra maroon on the Life Lounge News Radio 1020. Katie.
When you have gone.
Welcome back to the Life Lounge. Carol Lee Espy here with my guest, Rick DiClemente, who is an intuitive astrologer and always bringing to light the stuff that is amazing to me. And we're going through this big change of Pluto into Capricorn, which is an era of another 14 years of difference.
16
years of things changing. And we've been going sign by sign. So Scorpio, you said, wasn't even going to feel it.
I don't think so. I do want to give folks my phone number in case they...
Oh, gosh, you forget. It's starself.com.
Starself, like the word yourself, but starself.com. The number is 724, if they need to call me, 724-622-8079.
I got to tell you what it's like, though, to have your chart read by Rick.
Yeah, what's
it's
it like?
It's like, first of all, there's a Starbucks nearby, so you can grab a Starbucks on the way, which is a great idea. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I go in and you give him the information. He tapes it for you so you can listen back, because there's a lot of stuff thrown at you, and he tapes it for you. So, but it's very, very comfortable atmosphere. And I was just surprised at how on the money you could look at certain times because of where everything is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very
accurate.
I was
just amazed. Just
well, you know,
amazed.
In 71, somebody did my chart, and I really didn't care for what she said. And by 78, it eaten at me so much that I said, that's enough. I'm going to learn this myself, neutrally, objectively. And I just started teaching myself, and I never stopped, 30 years ago.
But it's what you should be doing.
But it's very difficult to do. I mean, I got students that are in their 40th week right now, and they're just starting to get it. I mean, I'm putting charts up now, and they're reading them left and right, and they're getting it.
They're getting it.
I got other people in their 6th or 7th week, and they're looking at me like I'm talking another language, you know. Remind me, before the night's over,
what?
I do want to tell you the story about this wedding that I picked the time for. Did I tell you that one?
No, did I read it in your newsletter?
Yeah, but
okay,
I didn't.
Yeah, you gotta tell me.
But later on, I want to do that.
Okay, wait,
let
me write this
story.
Down. Okay.
About the wedding. Anyhow,
I also like the one about the dream too.
The dream was cool. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll do that one too.
Okay.
That was last week. The Sagittarians with Sagittarius, you put Sagittarius in the first house. The Capricorn would be the second house. So what's happening with Sagittarius is it's in their second house, and what that means is they're really facing, you know, with Pluto, you're facing possible death and rebirth. And a lot of Sagittarius are having big time money issues going on because the second house is the house of money. But more importantly, what's happening is self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's self-worth. Because the more and more people ask me about their jobs and their money and stuff, it's really related to your self-worth.
That's interesting.
It's really related to that flow of life through your own self. And so with Sagittarius, I'm seeing that, you see, what Pluto does is it holds you to it. You can't get by with being flippant anymore.
But aren't Sagittarius feeling better about things? I mean, wasn't it hard to have Pluto in their sign for so long? Or
well, yes.
Are they feeling
no.
a relief?
Yes. I mean, Sagittarius have been through an awful lot. But their revolution that's happening is in worth, in value systems, in their self-worth, et cetera,
okay.
et cetera.
Okay.
Now, Capricorns, which I is one.
Yeah, how's this feeling
well,
to you?
Well, this is monumental for us. My God. I tell you, the first thing that comes to my mind is Capricorns like to play it safe, and they got the myth. We should talk about that some night, the 12 myths. And they try to say that word. That's pretty
the 12
hard.
12 myths.
Myths.
It's like,
know,
yeah,
myths.
It's like trying to talk about, you know.
The myth of Capricorn is that if you follow the rules, everything's going to be fine. And it ain't so. It ain't so.
But it's also a very big work hard, play hard.
Yeah, work hard, play hard. You're right. And Pluto and Capricorn is saying, I don't care how platinum your Visa card is here. What are you made of? You know, so a lot of Capricorns are shaking in their shoes at this one. But a lot of other Capricorns are finding their strength. They're finding their power. Pluto brings you your power. It's that simple. And I wrote about it in the newsletter that is coming up
in
a few
April?
Days.
Okay.
What I think Pluto does is it shows you, Carol, what's already dead.
Yes.
And the reason people have trouble with Pluto, they don't want things to die.
They don't
want.
They
want to hang on to stuff. I did a workshop last week,
That's really
I had everybody
good.
in the workshop put paper stickies along the walls of the things in their life that are dead that they want to keep going back to resurrect. And they won't let go of it. And I made them look at these signs all throughout the workshop just so they become conscious of where you won't let go. So that's the secret to dealing with Pluto.
Wow.
So with Capricorns, it's got to do with making their move. This is their time to make their move, but you can't make the move as a role, as a status. You have to make it as a real self.
Are you feeling this?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah?
Sure I'm feeling it, yeah. It's
okay.
Shaking everything up. Yep. Aquarius is next.
Do you feel good about it? I mean,
I feel very good.
You feel
very excited.
Like charged up by it. Okay.
Well, yeah, but I'm afraid for a lot of the predictions I made about the world and the country and the economy. I mean, it's scary stuff, but you're seeing it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're shaking in our boots, and hopefully it'll shake us to some sense.
We're gonna be okay.
It is Eckhart Tolle.
Yes.
Pluto in Capricorn is Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
He is the, even though he's Aquarius, he is the manifestation of this movement that you've been talking about.
Yeah.
Funny thing, the next sign is Aquarius, and he is an Aquarian, a brilliant one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In case people don't know, he's the one that wrote the book, The New Earth.
And The Power of Now.
The Power
and
of
a
Now.
New Year. Yeah.
Aquarians are going through the 12th house, and that's very tough. So what's happening there is a stirring up the unconscious mind. All the stuff that they thought was solved or had closure on is all coming out. And they're being forced to go to the transcendental part of life. And Aquarians like to have control of everything in their powerful mindsets. But the 12th house is all about their connection to the collective. So this is all kind of pouring through them.
Yeah, I think that's a good place for Aquarians.
I think so.
Yeah, I think they're going to be quite comfortable
Yeah, I think
find
so.
Their place in the collective.
Hey, Carol likes it, so it must be okay.
I think especially Aquarian women that I know are going to be just fine with that. Aquarian men might be like, well, what's that mean to my MBA? But, you know, But I think Aquarian women are naturally there.
I had a Sag today in my class. I was teaching in Wheeling, and Pluto was hitting her, and she said, boy, I just don't like it. I don't like it. I'm in therapy, and all this stuff's coming out and all this. And I said, that's exactly – see, that's the advantage of having an astrologer is I can tell when the stuff's coming out. Mm-hmm. So don't try to push it back down.
This is the time to acknowledge it and
bring
deal
it out.
With it. Absolutely.
Just like an abscessed tooth. You don't want to – ignore, you gotta dig it out.
Yeah, dig it out. We gotta take a break.
And then
speaking
we'll do Pisces.
Of abscess tooth, we gotta take a break. We'll be back in the Life Lounge on News Radio 1020 KDKA.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel like spring is sprung. Every time I see you grin, such a happy individual. The moment that you speak.
Welcome back to the Life Lounge. I'm Carol Lee Espy. My guest is intuitive astrologer Rick DiClemente. And just someone you want at a party. I mean, I just want to hang with
you. I'd party with the guy myself.
I bet you're just like hilarious. Are you good at parties or are you like
it all depends. I'm pretty moody.
Are you?
So you're breaking me down.
You're willing to just like you're going to go. I'm leaving. That's it. I'm going.
I'm a yo-yo.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where's your moon?
My moon is in Pisces.
Oh, my gosh.
Nah, you don't like Pisces either.
Pisces moon.
You're anti-water signs.
No, Pisces moon people are out there, man. They are out there.
I love Pisces, my favorite sign.
It's the optimist.
I wanted to tell you something. You said during the break that this Eckhart Tolle book, The New Earth, it's having its big impact because people are ready. It reminded me that I once told a friend of mine how Pluto was discovered in 1930. And he was saying, oh, yeah, and I tried to tell him the reason it was discovered in 1930 was because people were ready for Pluto to be discovered. He thought that was ridiculous. He thought it was discovered just because our telescopes got stronger. I said, no, it's one and the same. It was discovered when we were ready. You know that when I started mapping Chiron and I'm seeing all the impact from Chiron, I went back in time to people like St. Francis and people long ago, and Chiron was doing nothing in their charts because they didn't vibrate to the energy. It wasn't part of the collective.
Interesting.
Anyhow, the final sign is Pisces before our break.
Okay.
And I was analyzing Pisces, and it's the 11th house. I think with Pisces people, and I know they're out there, it's not that they're out there, it's just that they're not here. There's a difference. And, all right, the 11th house means that Pisces people are really starting to think about their wishes, what they've dreamed for a long time. And Pisces, unfortunately, sometimes they go with the flow too much. They just flow downstream and they go wherever the wind blows them. But now they're starting to see, and they're going to be able to see, that the reason I don't have that Winnebago or the reason I haven't been to the pyramids or whatever their wish is because they haven't done it. They haven't applied themselves. So that's the real shift going on with Pisces, making their wish, owning their wish, and going for it.
Okay. This is going to be interesting. So many people are going to have these challenges and these questions posed to them that they need to face during this time. It's going to be very interesting. Very interesting. We're going to take a break. Rick is going to stay with us for a couple more minutes on the other side of 11. And then after that, we will have a Brooke Annabelle, who has just an incredible CD out. Very anxious for you guys to hear it. She unfortunately is under the weather and can't be here, but we got the CD. So we can listen to it. A very, very talented young woman. Wish we knew what her sign was. We could.
Excellent.
We'll be back in the Life Lounge after the news on KDKA. Welcome back to the Life Lounge. Carol Lee Espy here. Rick DiClemente, who is staying till the next break. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, it's always just a fascinating stuff.
I wanted to let people know that I'll be giving a talk at the Penn Hills Library.
Okay, that's on the 17th.
April 17th. It's free to the public. And that will be about your sun sign and your relationships. And they can ask all their questions. And if there are...
That's a Thursday night now from 6:30 to 9.
Yeah, it depends on the number of people. If I could do some little mini readings or not, I don't know.
Okay.
But that's April 17th. That's free to the public, Penn Hills Library.
Oh, I would make that one. Make sure you show up for this one because this is free.
All right. It costs just right. So what are we going to talk about? We got like 5 minutes,
anything
right?
Major happening in the next month, in April, you see that's an astrological event?
The big thing, you know, a lot of times when the big planets hit, the other ones sneak up on you, and they're kind of like a cycle underneath a bigger cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that's brewing, that's new to this year, is Saturn and Uranus are starting to oppose each other. And what that means in the collective mind is the Saturn part of you is down to earth. It's the right wing. It's the conservative part of you. It's got its place, but it'll kill you if you go too far with it, just like all energies.
Mm-hmm.
Uranus is opposing it. Uranus is the opposite energy. It's the part that makes us want to break free and change and try new things. People have a hard time with Uranus because people are basically very Saturnian. They don't like change. They like to stay put.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Uranus comes along and cracks the tedium. And so these two planets are starting to oppose each other. And you're going to find that they're opposing each other all through the summer.
Ooh.
And they're going to peak and have their exact opposition the night before the election. Which is kind of, it's a coinky dink. It's a coinky dink.
You know? There's no quinky dinks.
You know, and what's happening is this rhetoric of the right versus the left is going to get so loud. And it's a shame. We want a healthy dialogue. But what we really need to do within us and within the society is you want to balance.
We want to meet in the middle somewhere.
You want
to
balance the conservative part within you and the liberal part within you. We're all made of both energies.
And, you know, we as a collective let this get way too far.
Yes,
I mean,
it's become this dirty word.
All we hear is fighting on the radio. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, everybody fights like crazy. Throwing labels at each other. They're so easy to throw labels.
And we got to get it. I really hate to quote High School Musical, but we're all in this together. It's a song from High School Musical. Tell us the wedding story.
Oh, yeah, the wedding story. A woman came to me who was about to get married, and she wanted me to pick the date. And I told her I wouldn't do it because of many reasons. And, you know, India, they pick the date and the time, and they actually pick your partner. You don't even know your partner.
It works.
They go a little far, but anyhow. So she started really pressing me to pick the date for her wedding. So every time I picked the date, she said no, she didn't want to marry on Friday. I said, the planets don't know what day of the week it is.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me so many restrictions that we finally decided on certain date, months ahead, we finally agreed on a date. And I said, all right, but I'm not going to pick the time. Because the time, what that does to me, it puts all responsibility on me. And all the future events that will happen in that relationship would be based on that chart.
But you don't want to be, you want to make sure that the moon's not void of course.
Well, I'm going to check a few things,
But
I don't want the responsibility if something goes wrong in that marriage.
Yeah.
You know? So anyhow, I gave her... We agreed on the date, and I told her she could get married between 2:35 in the afternoon and 2:55. It was like a 20-minute window.
Like that stuff runs on time.
Well, I told her 2:35 not to get married before 2:36 it was. So anyhow, this woman gets married on stage at a local community theater because
mm-hmm.
she's a Leo, right?
Of course.
And the theme of the wedding, the motif is gangsters in the wedding. And it actually worked because they had jokingly called each other partners in crime. That was their running joke, the bride and the
group. And kind of like guys and dolls.
Yeah, so everybody's dressed in zoot suits on the stage and it's a wedding with a preacher. So I'm sitting in the audience and I'm watching my clock and I got my wristwatch in sync with the Colorado atomic clock, so I'm within a second.
Yeah, you
right?
go, boy.
You go, boy. I'm watching for sure, because I'm waiting for that moment when he says, I pronounce you man and wife. That's the birth of that marriage.
Oh.
So I'm watching and watching, and they're done with all their vows, and it's 20 after. They got 15 more minutes. They can't get married for 15 minutes, and I'm sitting there sweating bullets, and she's hemming and hawing, and they're done with everything. She walks to the front of the stage, and she says, "I'm weird. I gotta tell you, we have to stop the wedding. We have to wait for 15 minutes. I cannot be married for 15 more minutes," she said. She said, "I am in the restaurant business. It's very stressful. My husband and I are going to be facing all kind of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I want all the things in my court that I can get in my favor. So I hired an astrologer to pick the time. And I cannot be married till 36 minutes after the hour.
Oh,
so we
gosh.
Have to wait. So does anybody know any good stories?"
Oh,
that's
my
what she
gosh.
Said. And what's funny, the addendum to this, is all through the wedding, this woman sitting next to me is getting very irritated with me, and I can't figure out why. She's getting very irritated, and I'm just trying to send friendly nonverbal vibrations
mm-hmm.
her way. And she's very irritated, and I found out later that she was the mother for the maid of honor, and she was upset because I kept looking at my watch.
You're like, what's this thing going to be over?
Right. And then she found out she put two and two together. So the moral of the story is they got married 1 minute early,
uh-oh.
Which is good enough.
Okay.
And they're off into marital bliss.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Rick DiClemente, starself.com. I can't say enough about this guy. You know, get a reading done. Do yourself a map out your year. Take a look and see let's see what's coming up. And go with the flow of the energies around you, because it's all connected. This is what God gives you. This is one of the great gifts that is bestowed upon you as a child of God, is that it's all out there available for you. It's
very
all
good.
There. Thank you so much for
Thank
being here.
Thank you for having me on.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank
I wish you,
you
know,
very much.
I could say, coming up next, we have a Brooke Annabelle. Wait till you hear this new CD. It's called The In-Between. Just an incredible, she's a local singer-songwriter. She lives in Nashville right now. She's going to